This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Daniel Dixon. We're bringing back one of our most impactful episodes with the real estate powerhouse himself, Mr. Brett Tanner. In this episode, Brett shares the strategies that have helped propel him to the top and how he's helping others build wealth through the KW Wealth community. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or giving this a second listen, you won't want to miss this. Let's dive in and enjoy.
He goes, oh, so you sent the wire, right? I'm like, no, I financed it. He said, you did what? I said, I financed it. He said, why would we do that? We're buying a depreciating asset and you financed it? Send the wire. And so I think it's important to have those kind of people in your life that are going to call you and hold you accountable to the principles of the things that need to get done for you to continue to stay on that journey of building wealth. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Color Money Podcast. Now, today is a very special day for us. We have the one, the only Mr. Brett Tanner joining us today. I'm super excited about this episode because Brett not only is a coach, friend, mentor, everything to me in my life, but this man and what he understands about wealth building, about real estate, about teams, about all the things that have to do in this ecosystem of real estate. I mean, we could probably do this podcast for 4 hours, 5 hours with all the information he has. Now, since 2009, Brett has sold over 5,500 homes and is ranked as high as number 9 producing agent in the entire country. Brett owns multiple ancillary businesses that are all tied in and directly correlated to real estate. Every year, Brett flips 50 plus houses, and he currently owns over 200 long-term rentals and notes around the country. Brett's real estate network, the Be Wealthy Network, has over 35 locations with over 300 active members, and he currently operates in over 20 states. Today's Brett's experience is sought after as a national speaker and mentor, focusing primarily on wealth development. He currently serves as a community leader of KW Wealth and is passionate about helping other real estate professionals develop an internal wealth plan and execute those strategies to achieve massive wealth. Brett, thank you so much for doing this with us today. I can't wait to get all the information, all the knowledge, all the nuggets from you, man. Welcome.
My pleasure, man. I'm excited to be here. Anytime I get to hang out with you, I love Emmerich. Anytime I get to hang out with you guys, I'm in. I'm always here. So I'm excited to be here.
There's a few things I want to get with our listeners today. I want to have a conversation that's strictly about wealth. We'll talk about KW Wealth. We'll talk about the 8 weeks. We'll talk about the 30-year plan and some of those additional things. But tell me a little bit about this journey for you. Why did this pivot and change? I know you've always been about wealth, but now we're being more vocal and we're trying to teach more agents about this wealth building journey. Where did that come from? What's that about?
So if you went back, right? So I got my license in 2005. And prior to that, I got my license to actually do my own investments, right? So I was flipping homes, you know, doing one here or there, the capital I had at that time. And I got my license just to facilitate those transactions. So I started as an investor, right? I fell into the agent business and fell in love with that side of the retail business. So I've always had a focus. But then if you fast forward a bit, you know, when the world got kind of weird in 2008, I almost left the business. I was like, this is hard. Kind of felt the world in 2007-8 feels a little kind of like today, just got harder. Like things changed, kind of felt like who moved my cheese, right? The world's a little different place. And then by 2011, from almost leaving, you know, we were number 9 in the country. And it was at that point where I realized that selling homes alone wasn't going to make me wealthy. I was doing well by every measurable stat. I was really successful. And I'm looking around at people that had had that level of success for a long period of time, but they weren't wealthy. So I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, Daniel, I'm thinking, how can you go be in this business for 20 or 30 years selling the most valuable thing in the world, which is like the richest people in the world, the number one asset outside of their private companies is real estate, right? As an agent, you have access to the number one asset, yet agents that have been at the peak of their game for decades and decades weren't wealthy. And so I kind of looked at it and said, the skills that make me a great real estate agent and allow me to build a really big company are not the same skills that'll make me wealthy. And so I've spent the last, whatever it's been, almost 15 years studying how do the really wealthy think about money, right? How are they thinking about it? What's their strategy? What's the mindset? You really dig into it. The mindset's where it all starts. And so for me, it started from a moment realizing what I was doing was not going to get me where I wanted to go. I had to ask different questions to get different answers.
Yeah. Every guest that we have really comes back to some sort of mindset. And it's a mindset that unlocks the actual potential of actually building that wealth. Like what changed in your mindset? What were you starting to think, or what process changed for you?
I thought to have a lot of money, to be wealthy, you had to make a lot of money, right? And you just start digging in and start looking at people that have real money, not fake online Instagram, money, but durable wealth. And there was a correlation of income, right? Higher income wealth, but it wasn't directly correlated. I know some people that didn't make $1 million a year, yet were really, really wealthy. And so it became part of those conversations. So the fundamental one, it starts with just, how am I actually measuring progress? Mm-hmm. And so, I start with, for me, I didn't have all the, these incredible tools. I was tracking my net worth kind of sometimes, right? Back 2005, 6, 7. And it was Gary. Gary, like in front of the room one day, he's like, hey, Brett, you have to track your net worth. I'm like, yeah, all the times I want to, right? It's going up. You bet I know the number. And he goes, oh, do you track it every month, every week? Do you know exactly every number? I was like, no. He goes, cool. You'll never be wealthy. And he kind of blasted me in front of people. And I was like, dude, it's aggressive. But he was right, right? If I'm not tracking it, how will I know if I've got to have progress? So then I was like, all right, well, I'm here today, right? I've got this number. We'll call it $1 million, whatever the number is. And then I'm like, well, how will I know if I'm on track for 30 years from now so I don't end up at the end of my career with a big house and a late model BMW? How do I have more than that, right? And then just a top realtor. And so I came up with this idea. What if I just picked a huge number 30 years from now and then figured out where do I need to be every single year so that I hit that number? And that was the unlock for me. Once I had a way to measure progress every year and every month, because then it's a game I can win, right? As soon as I know, like I know where I'm at right now, like December 1st, I did my balance sheet, right? And I look at, well, where do I got to be in January of 2024? That's not that hard to figure out. But what about January 2025? How do I feel about that? How about 2026? So right now on my balance sheet, I'm living in the year like 2030. In other words, I'm ahead of the game,
but
because of the measurement tool. So I would say if I only gave one thing, it would be you've got to find a way to know that you're going to hit your destination that's decades in the future on the actions, the decisions, the relationships that you're building today. You do that, everything else is possible.
Well, Brett, that's interesting. Like you're giving this view of wealth, right? And I believe that a lot of us don't really understand wealth. They understand being rich because so many people come from a perspective where they never had enough money. So they believe that accumulating enough money is what you require. And when you understand it, accumulating money just makes you rich. It doesn't make you wealthy. To a certain degree, it makes you rich. And so you're having a wealthy conversation. I believe part of this conversation has to be, how do we get from thinking about being rich to thinking about being wealthy? Because you're talking about your balance sheet, and rich people may not have a balance sheet. They may have a balance on their account, on their checking account, their savings account, and maybe a money market account. They don't have a real balance sheet. I believe that's where a lot of people get confused with being rich and being wealthy. How do you make that transition from being rich to being wealthy? What's the thought process behind it?
To me, it's all passive income, right? The thing that creates wealth is where you don't have to work, right? So if you've got $30 million in Tesla stock today, you can't quit working unless you want to start selling your stock to pay for your bills, right? If I've got Tesla stock, it doesn't currently pay a dividend. So to me, wealth, the first measurement stick is, number one, I got to know what I spend every month. Like what is it? And I call it burn rate, right? So there's an amount of money that I'm very comfortable spending. By the way, it's what you're spending right now. Like I know that Daniel's very comfortable. I'm comfortable spending whatever I'm spending. So when I talk about just starting to understand your money, I don't want you to go, you know, buy a bag of beans and a bag of rice and live cheap, because I think that sucks, right? No one wants to work their ass off and live cheap. I just think that's a crappy way to do it. However, we've got to pick a number, right? Okay, let's call it $15,000 a month. Now you're saying, well, what do I have to do with my money so that I could get $15,000 a month that comes into me that I don't have to work for? Like, what do I have to do? Right? So that's where I'd start. You get to that number to where whether I work or not, everything's paid for. Look, you are going to be just fine. You're in a great place. Now, that's not wealth, but that is going to get you what they call, you know, financially free. I'm just going to say it takes the pressure off, right? Now you can go get to do the things you really want to do. Second level of that, you get to 3 times your burn rate. So if it's 15,000, if you have $45,000 a month coming in, whether you work or not, in this example, you're on your way to being wealthy. I don't think you're ridiculously wealthy, but I'm going to tell you what, you are going to be the most comfortable person out there, because now you can do all the things, right? You can do whatever you want. You can even increase your burn rate and you still got money coming in. You get to 10 times that number, it's game over. You are on your way to becoming one of the wealthiest people you've ever met, right? If your burn rate is $15,000 a month and you got $150,000 a month coming in, whether you work or not, the game's over. You won. It's a wrap. And so I think, Imrik, to answer your question, it's like people are rich because they're like, oh, I got a lot of money in my checking account, or I just paid cash for this new car, or I can do this. Yeah, you can only do that as long as you're doing the thing you're doing that made money. Once you quit doing the thing that makes the money, now we get to find out how wealthy you are. And so that's how I come to think about wealth is, if all of us couldn't go work, who can last the longest without doing anything to work?
I like that a lot.
It's one of the biggest mistakes that I've made over the last few years is we made a lot of money and my balance sheet was looking beautiful, but the focus for me was not on cash flow. And so now the world goes crazy, the world goes weird. And then now all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, we're not printing the money that we were in our real estate and our mortgage businesses. And it changes the game and the focus of that cash flow conversation, that passive income conversation, and not just having a pretty net worth or owning a bunch of real estate that's growing in value if it's not producing that cash flow back to you.
100%. Every decision, every investment you make literally should be a cash flow investment. I have nothing, not one thing in my portfolio that's speculative, that's dirt, that's some stock. I have $0 in the stock market. Not, I mean, none, zero. I like to play rigged games, right? And I believe that real estate as a real estate agent is a rigged game. I don't mean rigged in a bad way. I'm just saying I know the value of a house, what I can buy. I know what I can sell it for. I know what I can buy it for. I know what it costs to fix it. In that context, largely I'm playing a rigged game. I know what I can do there, right? So if you're going to play the stock market, you need to know, why is that stock going to go up? Not some tip from your neighbor, but why are they going to outperform what the analysts believed, right? You always think all markets are forward-looking and there's really smart people that are way smarter than all of us trying to figure all that out. What I know is that every person watching this is an expert at selling real estate in their town, in their street, near their home, right? They know that area. So you know what a good deal is and a bad deal is. If you know that, you have an unfair advantage. And I am beyond passionate that real estate agents should be the wealthiest industry, period, of any other industry. Yeah. They should be. Everyone should walk down the street. What do you do for a living? You say, I'm in real estate. They're like, oh my gosh, Daniel Imrik, you must be ridiculously wealthy because you're in real estate. That should be the case. And the challenge is just agents have not learned the skills to translate. They have the knowledge. They have all the things. Now we just got to get them to apply it to their own life and not only to their clients. I want you to help your clients become wealthy. I love that. I just want every agent to put their mask on first and have them become wealthy first.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you teach through KW Wealth, and I want to go through really quick, is I can't remember what you call it exactly, but like the listing hierarchy, meaning the last thing we want to do is actually put a sign in the front yard. And when I explain that to people in my market center or people in my ecosystem, they're like, wait, that's the last thing that you want to do? And I'm like, yes, this is the mindset of being a wealthy realtor. It changes when you think about acquiring or controlling that property prior to putting your sign in the front yard. So can you walk us through that hierarchy piece?
Yeah. So when I, you know, the old saying, right, you get into real estate, they say, you got to take a lot of listings. That's how you last. And I think the saying is right, list to last. I just think you should list the house last. And so when I look at a deal, right, first, you know, again, I was an investor, got my real estate license. I go on my first appointment. I'm like, let's pretend it was Emmerich. I go to Emmerich. I'm like, dude, you want to list your house? Cool. Come on. I'd love to buy it. I'm a licensed realtor. I know that's why I'm here. I'd love to just buy your home. Now, did it work? No. Emmerich's like, no, I want to list. He wanted more money than that I was willing to pay. But in other words, if you walk into every living room with your investor hat on and say, look, I want to buy this house. I want to buy it for my portfolio. Why? That's going to get me to wealth faster, right? It's going to create passive income. But let's just say I go out there and, you know, so first thing I do, I want to buy it. Second thing, maybe I don't want to buy it. It doesn't fit my portfolio, but I know Daniel would buy this. But if I put it under contract, I can control that contract. Well, now I can work with Daniel, right? I could sell you that contract. There's ways I could work there. You know, for me, I love buying property. I love becoming the bank, right? More complicated strategy. But I want to buy homes, find a great quality borrower, help them get into home ownership. And I'm going to carry the paper just like a bank would. 30-year fixed. You know, our rates are around whatever, 9.9%, which seemed crazy when rates were that low. Today, I'm relatively low cost, you know, relatively speaking. So from there, right, then I go, all right, if those three things can't work, and that's my highest value, then I go, all right, what if I flip it, right? I don't want the deal in my portfolio. Can I add value and flip that home? And if I can't do that, then I go to my database. Do I already have another buyer that wants this house? Can I possibly double in this thing? And then if none of that works, I'll list the home. Sure, I'd love to list it. Let's do that. And we'll help you. We, you know, help you get more money in less time. The point is I run through that every single time because I want to buy more real estate. I hold a real estate license and I'm in the real estate sales business for only one reason, to buy real estate. Like that is the reason why I'm in the business. And I think if you take a step back, look, yes, I have great customer service. I love my clients. 98% of the time, that's the thing we're doing. Right, we're helping buyers and sellers. But those 2% of the times where you can buy it, it does make sense. And I just have a fundamental belief that the MLS doesn't solve everyone's problems. It doesn't. There are times where that seller needs to close in 7 days. They need to stay there for 90 days because they need their proceeds to make things right, to go move on. There's a lot of reasons why people sell a home, and getting the most price doesn't solve all their problems. And so I think as agents, we're problem solvers. And you can help people and make money. And that's where I think the ultimate transition can occur.
These are principles that you started teaching me 8 years ago when we started coaching. So these are, I lucked out early enough by being in your orbit that we could start thinking this way. But when you started the journey of building out KW Wealth and really trying to help agents, it's such a unique value add because it's not a conversation that a lot of people are having. There's a million things about downlines and how to be a better listing agent and buyer representation and all these things, but no one's talking about wealth in the sense of, to your point, real estate agents should be the wealthiest industry on the planet. So when you launched KW Wealth, what was the intention? Is there a goal with the amount of realtors that you want to impact? Is it a KW thing where you want all these KW agents to grow? Or what is KW Wealth exactly? And what was the passion behind that?
So it was family reunion, not 2023, 2022. So I went around, and a large part of my wealth building journey has been impacted by Gary Keller, right? I've had the good fortune of being in his room for 15 years. And today I would say we're very, very close friends. He's my coach, full disclosure. So I'm coached by Gary, and he's transformed the way I think about. So a lot of my conversations came from him, right? Whether that was a private conversation in his room, at MegaCamp, at family reunion, you know, when I see in his room, in his mastermind. So that's always been there, right? He's always talked about money. And I left that family reunion and I said, hey, I think we could do more. In other words, the way that Keller was set up, right? We're never going to have an event where it's all about wealth building, the whole thing. And I just said, I think we need a division. I don't know the name or the words for this, but I want a division or something over here that is all about wealth building. And in classic Gary fashion, he says, put together a one pager and send it to me. So I did. I said, this is what I think it looks like. This is how I'd like to deliver the material. Here's what I think the curriculum is. And at the end of that, he comes back with, not only do I love it, I want to be involved, right? I want to be involved in the curriculum. I want to come and help teach. And so that's where it started. So it started with, let's have a community that's very, very low cost. Let's have a way for people to just have a different conversation. And so it started there. And then we've got a high-end mastermind in KW Wealth that's for folks that are, you know, further along, that want to go faster and want to have just these deeper, high level conversations. And just to give you a short answer, I really just wanted to create the room that I wanted to be in, right? Selfishly, this is the conversation that I want to have. And I've had it with you privately, right? And I've had it in small groups. But let's go have that conversation with as many people that want to engage in that. Let's have it. So that was the idea. Now, why didn't more people do it? I'll give you a hard-hitting answer, right? It's the hardest thing to fake. You can't fake your way to wealth. You could fake that you're a good listing agent. You could fake that you run a big team. You could fake all those things, but you can't fake cash flow, wealth, and those conversations because you'd have to have lived it in order to actually have the conversation. So it's the one thing that you can't fake. And I love that everyone else is talking about wealth these days. I think it's cool. I love that it's out there because this should be the conversations everyone's having. That was my vision. So where will it go? As big as many people want to be in that journey, we'd love to have them. And I am honored to get to be a guide and play a small role in impacting so many.
Brett, I sit in that room. I sit in that mastermind. And I'm just being transparent. In some places, I'm great. In other places, I'm not so great. And so in that room, when you're in that room with that group of people, it exposes your weaknesses and it lets you clearly understand, you know, where you probably should be working a little harder. And so there are a lot of people that want to grow their wealth and then they're intimidated to go into the room where the room is bigger than them. Because some people, they're in a room where the room is smaller than them. That's a comfortable room. However, when you go into a room that's larger than you and the balance sheets and the P&Ls look quite different than yours, even though you may have a respectable sheet, how do people get past that place? Because I know there's some people that say, well, I can't go in there because I don't have this or I don't deserve to be in here. How does one get past that place? Because that can be intimidating. And then people get analysis paralysis and they don't do anything. They just stay in their little small room.
My answer to that would be, number one, anytime you feel like the room's ahead of you, you've got to go back to your mindset and say, that means I'm now in the right room. I've finally got into the room I should be in. If you go into a room and everything they're talking about, you know, and you're nailing it, that's going to be the most comfortable, right? Because it's like, oh, these are my friends. We're all doing the same things. Everyone's kind of at the same place. I would argue that's the room I never want to be in. Right? I don't want to be in a room where everyone's like, oh, we're kind of all here. You want to be in the room where someone is so far out in front, there's at least 20 to 50% of the things you do not know yet. Right? I want to hear new concepts. That's where breakthroughs come from, is being challenged. So for Emmerich, I love your transparency. By the way, if you're in that room and you know everything, I can say I don't know everything and I lead the room. Right, I'm bringing in people because I want to learn. Right? So I wouldn't be transparent if I said, oh, everything in there, I've nailed it all. Right, I go in there with the speakers. If you notice when our speakers go up there, I do most of the speaking, but when a speaker goes up there, I sit in the front row and I take notes. And I leave a list of things to go do. And so I would just say if any ever feel that way, like, hey, I shouldn't be in the room, that should be a trigger to go, all right, I'm getting in that room. Yes. Just like every day I get in my cold plunge every morning. I didn't get in this morning for a variety of reasons, but I get in there every morning. And it's the hardest thing I do every day because no matter how many days you do it, jumping in a 39 degree water at 6 in the morning, especially in the winter when it's colder, it's one thing when it's 110 in Arizona, you jump in there, but it's the hard, every day I try to talk myself out of it. And every day, the minute my mind goes, don't do it, I go, boom, all the way under, right? And I'm just frozen. So I feel the same way about the room, right? You got to just jump in. You'll get the win from jumping in.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
Really quick off topic about this cold plunge, right? And because that's deep, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to do it. However you do it, that's a mindset. That's a mindset of success. That's a mindset of breaking through a barrier. For a normal person, what could be something that they could use to break through a barrier at 6 o'clock in the morning? I know for me, going to the gym at 4:45 is not one of my favorite things. However, when I leave the gym, I understand what I feel like. So what's something that people can do to get through that because people are highly successful, they do things early in the morning that they don't want to do. So what's something that people can do to just start warming themselves up to think differently about life and themselves and maybe money?
I would pick the thing you're avoiding, right? I think for all of us, there's something in our life we're avoiding because we're going to wait until oh, I'll do it later in the day. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. I would say whatever that thing you're avoiding is that you could, it's a daily thing, do it tomorrow. Just go do it. Do it and do it. I mean, first thing. And because once you do it, the reason why I've loved this cold plunge, I mean, look, there's a variety of health benefits and I hope they're all true. That's not why I do it, right? I do it for those things, but I literally have stuck in it because it's the hardest thing to do. And I find when I do it every morning, then I get to my office or I'm doing something in business or something in my life that's hard and it's not as hard because I already did something that was really hard when I woke up. So the next thing you're like, I'll knock this out. It's no problem. And it just sets you up because having a really big life doesn't mean you have less problems. And I think that's one of the myths of money, right? Like, oh, I get to a certain level and all the problems go away, the people issues, the family stuff at home, all of it's easier. No, it's not. It's actually harder because the more things you acquire, the bigger your world gets, you have more people, right? More people, more things, more stuff that all has to be managed. And so what I would tell you is the problems get bigger, you just get radically better. When you see those really successful people that are crushing it, they've built systems and models. They're just better at dealing with all of it because they've been doing the hard things for so long.
Right. I'm going to leave it alone at this because I want Daniel to come back in. That's that whole conversation of be, do, have. When you don't have money, you say, if I have what you have, I can do what you do and I can be who you are. When really the be, do, have is like, you have to be who I am first. And then do the things that I do, and then you can have the things that I have. And we've had, this is the second week, Daniel, that I've had this conversation about be, do, have. And it just keeps coming up in this whole money conversation. So thank you for that, Brett, because we have to focus on being that person first when we start talking about wealth. We have to be that person.
I want to go one more second there. So, Emmerich, that's the part, right? Before you have to start living and being the person that would have that money before you have the money, right? So, like, if you're watching, and I'm just making up numbers that are round numbers, so it's not meant to, you know, get anyone off track. But if you're making $500,000 a year and you want to make $1 million a year, you've got to start living and making decisions as if your time's worth $1 million a year. But you've got to do it before you get the money. That's the part that people miss. So you said, I've got to be the person first because then the money will follow. The other things you want will follow. But if you're not living at that level, it's not sustainable. You might trick it 1 year and get there. But for sustainable income and wealth, you got to be the person first. And you got to do the hard thing.
And just, we can't be tricked by saying being that person means I have to spend the money that that person is spending.
No.
That's the tricky part.
Yeah,
that's the tricky part, because that's why people have expensive cars, expensive clothes, because they think that's being that person. And no, that's having what that person have. That's not the habits that make that person to earn what they earn. And we got to be careful about that. So, Daniel, you were saying something. I kind of cut you off. I apologize. But that whole be do have just popped up. So,
no, it's definitely carrying over from our last episode. And I think if you don't have a cold plunge, one of the easiest things Gary Brecka talks about is just take your hot shower, clean yourself, do your thing, turn the water all the way cold, wait about 30 seconds and plunge. It's a simple concept to get in and get it before you have the wealth to pay for the self-filtration actual plunge thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's easy ways to do it that don't cost money, right? You go get 3 bags of ice. Isn't that expensive? Fill your bag cold, fill 3 bags of ice and get in there. You get the same effect.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Brett, for a lot of the people that are listening on this call, we've talked about over our episodes about your wealth team. So when you think about your wealth team, who are the people that you need in your corner or that you need to sought after to get to be a part of that wealth team for you?
Yeah. So number one, right? Easiest one, you got to have a CPA and or tax strategist, right? Your CPA may or may not be the person to help implement tax strategy. And what I mean by that is some CPAs and accountants, right, are just taking the numbers you give them. They're popping them in your tax return. They're looking for errors and they're making sure you meet all the requirements for the IRS, right? That's a valuable skill. That doesn't do anything to help with your taxes. A separate person would be like, hey, Daniel, I noticed you bought some rental properties. Should we look at a cost segregation because you're in real estate? Should we look at how your, you know, 199A, as that might relate to increasing or decreasing your payroll? Should we look at the Augusta rule? Should we start looking at tax strategies that you could implement? So number one, the person is CPA/tax strategist. Those may or may not be the same person. Mm-hmm. Next person, I think, is your estate attorney. Look, if you're planning on being wealthy, how you get that money to the people or causes you care about is a very strategic endeavor. You've got to be really specific in how you do it, and you got to be very thoughtful. So you need someone who can take your ideas and thoughts about wealth and money and make sure those are passed on. And when you're passing on wealth, there's more to wealth than just dollars and cents and money, right? You're passing on your ideas, your beliefs. Like, there's things in my estate that are designed to keep my kids in close relationship. And I'll just give you an example. I've got this cabin in the mountains. It's like a legacy type property that it's a separate trust that will fund it and pay for all the expenses indefinitely. But my kids are never allowed to sell it, right? They have to. So it just sits there until they go to use it. But what am I building into that, Daniel? I'm building in that hopefully the three of them are going to go to the cabin and go hang out to where they were kids when they're older, right? Mm-hmm. So long after I'm gone, I'm trying to build in this connectivity there. So estate attorney is my second one. Third one, I think you need a banker. Like, your banker, whoever you work with, is not going to likely be some large, huge institution. It's probably going to be a small local or regional bank that actually wants to do business with you and wants to back you as you grow. I never knew how banking worked till about 5 years ago. I just thought, you know, it all kind of works the same. And what I've learned is that there are these banks that I texted my lender yesterday. This will be a really specific example. I'm considering buying this RV storage in the mountains. It's like a $3 million investment. And I just text him. I said, hey, if I'm putting 50% down, give me rates, terms, and pricing on this. He shoots me a text back. Dude, I could close that in 45 days. I might have to provide him a couple of updated documents, but largely because they do all my other stuff, it's already ready to go, right? So, like, I think your banker matters. So those are three. Next, your real estate attorney. You're going to be in real estate. Stuff is going to come up. Agreements, leases, evictions, foreclosures. You need a great real estate attorney. I would start there. And you know, as your world grows, it can expand beyond that. But those are four where I would, no question, you need those people to be in your corner. And they've got to be excellent. So if you go to one of your advisors and they're not helping you implement your plan, you have the wrong person. Like, we'll hear all the time, I'll say, well, my CPA said you can't do that, or that doesn't work in my world. And I'm like, cool, change the way you're asking the question. Mm-hmm. All the questions are not, can I do the Augusta rule? How do I do it so that you're comfortable with it? Can you help me implement this in my life? And so those are just getting your advisors and getting good at having those conversations.
Well, that's one of the hardest things for real estate agents that I've learned is we already figured out how to make the money, but keeping it is a whole different strategy that needs to be front and center. And like, paying 40% taxes year over year is just, that isn't it. There's other ways that we can protect our money, you know?
Well, there's a whole plan, right? The government gives you, they're not loopholes, right? They've created incentives for all of us to go solve certain problems if we want to. Like, the more houses we own, right, that helps having rental properties available for people to have a place to live. What's the incentive? Increased depreciation if you want it, right? If you want to go in the energy sector, there's a ton of credits there, right? So there's all these incentives. You get to pick where you play. And if you want to just pay a lot of tax, you can do that too. The tax law is written very unfairly in that if you want to do it, you can get all you want. You don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. But the people that play the game will build more wealth because taxes are one of those expenses that if we can reduce it and we save that money, like when I start talking about wealth, if I have a room of high income earners, I always start with taxes because if we can free up 100 grand a year, they can use that extra 100,000 to go buy another piece of real estate or another investment that creates more cash flow that ultimately helps them get wealthy.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that, there's a lot of different expansion networks and different networks out there that provide value. And I think yours is so unique. I mean, you've named it the Be Wealthy Network, which is so different than Sell More Houses Network or whatever, right? So tell us a little bit about that Be Wealthy Network. What is the value add? Why do agents join? And what kind of impact do you make on their businesses?
So I know we're totally different than other expansion group out there. And for a simple reason, number one, we don't own your location. So a lot of these other, they own it, and then you're going to be their partner in it. That's not our model. So we believe that real estate agents have skills, again, to create massive wealth. They just need the unlock and the knowledge and the systems to go into the wealth side. So our entire focus and our network is to help people become wealthy, right? Using their real estate team as a vehicle to go create that wealth. So where we're different, number one, we don't own it. It's always your business. And we take a little small fee out of every transaction to go make that happen. And then we're helping you go use the transactions you're doing. How can we be more strategic so that you ultimately build the wealth to hit whatever your plan is? So same concept of that we're teaching in our masterminds, all of our trainings. It's just in the network, you're getting it closer to us because we can be more involved because we're working with you and we're partners in that outcome. Not partners in terms of ownership in the business. They always own it. We're just there to power them. So I think what makes us different, we're actually talking about the wealth side, right? So we are helping them get their passive income up. So then when, if they're at the end of their career, they're going to say, oh my gosh, I'm ridiculously wealthy. I'm so glad I was in real estate and I use my time as an agent to ultimately create, you know, legacy generational wealth for whatever people or causes they care about.
Yeah, I think it's catching fire right now too. When you start seeing the success, the wealth success, not necessarily how many houses they sold, but the mindset shift, the wealth building, the flipping, the wholesaling, some of these other, or quick flips, some of these other things that people never even considered or thought about. But when they can plug into a network like that and say, hey, Brett, I have a deal. What do I do? And you're like, boom, boom, boom. It completely changes the game on the trajectory of that team or that solo agent's career.
And one of the things that people also have to understand is that they're always thinking about, what does it cost me to do that? That limits people. They say, well, if I join Be Wealthy, then I'm going to spend money. How much is it going to cost me? And maybe I can do it on my own. And so go ahead, but finish your thought, Brett, but incorporate that into your thought.
I love that. So I actually heard this a long time ago and I've repurposed it. And it says there's no cost in life, right? There are no costs. There's good investments and bad investments. And that's in everything. If you are allowed to buy a new shirt, that's not a cost. The shirt costs what it costs. It's either a good investment, meaning that you like it, it's going to last a long time, whatever the reason is, or it's a bad investment. It ripped early and it went away. So there's no cost. There's good and bad investments. So if someone joins anyone's world, if it's our world, and that investment is either going to be the greatest investment they've ever made, or it might be a poor investment. The difference is they get to choose, right? It's them that are choosing. Our model works because we've got so many people now in there that are implementing. So my answer would be that there's no cost. There's good and bad investments. The other thought I have is that most folks believe the only way to make money in terms of a real estate investment is flipping a home. Right? I buy a home, I flip it. Right, Daniel, that would have been, I think early on, might have been one of our conversations. Hey, I buy a home, I flip it. I'm like, well, whoa. There's like 10 different things we could do, right? So maybe you want to sell that contract. Maybe you want to quick flip it. Do you want to become the bank here? What if we don't fix it all the way up and we just clean it up and sell it to an end buyer because it's in really good condition and we're willing to do that? Like in certain scenarios, a lease purchase might make sense, right? So there's all these different variables. And I think people start where they only have one exit. And the biggest thing we are going to tell them is there could be 6 to 10 exits on a deal. We just need to show you what those are so that you can take advantage of it. And the more exits you have, I mean, the more deals you can actually do.
Yeah. And I think it's important to have people in your life and in your world that will call you on your bullshit. So a funny story, I was with Brett a couple of weeks ago and I was talking to him about how, you know, things are going fairly well. And, you know, I had to buy a new car. And, you know, I have three kids. They're all growing. I have four dogs. And he goes, oh, so you sent the wire, right? I'm like, no, I financed it. He said, you did what? I said, I financed. He said, why would we do that? We're buying a depreciating asset and you financed it? Send the wire. And so I think it's important to have those kind of people in your life that are going to call you and hold you accountable to the principles of the things that need to get done for you to continue to stay on that journey of building wealth. And so I forever appreciate you and hopefully you can stay as my coach. I mean, Brett's my real estate coach, my marriage counselor, my punching bag. Sometimes I'm pissed off at things. Like Brett wears many hats when we jump on our coaching calls. So I'm forever grateful, brother.
Well, I would say one more thing. I think you made a really good point that I think people don't think about. When you're going to buy anything, right? To me, if it doesn't cash flow, right? So that would houses cash flow if you're buying them, right? If it's an investment purpose that has cash flow, I'm okay with debt. But any toys, cars, all that stuff should always be paid cash. What that forces you to do is it forces you to right-size the purchase. it's really easy to go sign up for a $1,000 payment, right? Everybody can do that. What's hard is hitting the button and sending a $100,000 wire, right? I don't know how long I've wanted the brand new Tesla, right? But I am, and it's not that I don't have the money. I just always compare the opportunity costs. I'm always like, hey, I want to go buy another house, another house, another house. So, you know, I did it. My wife knows, like, when I buy something, we send a wire, right? All toys are paid with the wire. And when you start living that, you'll just right size all the purchases. You'll make the right decision. So I would tell anybody on here, get out of bad debt. Debt is just taking away from your future income, right? If it doesn't have cash flow attached to it, you're just taking away from your future income and you're living higher today than you should be. By forcing yourself to save, in this example, $100,000, like in my Tesla example, and then send the wire, by the way, probably when you get to the $100,000 save, you're going to go, nah, my car's fine, right? I'm going to let it ride a little further or whatever. So I would just say the principle is more important than the actual doing of it. It's the whole delayed gratification. The world's gotten so good at thinking you need all of these things. You know, and I know, Brother Daniel, we're on the Sleep 8. We are connected on that whole thing. I couldn't live without a Sleep 8. But the world's out there that you need all these things, which is great. You just need to make sure that your whole world's set up before you start getting too many things and stuff, as we say.
Well, it's those principles. And I think that's one thing that you live incredibly by is you truly have principles behind spending money, investing money, making money. And that's one thing I think that all of us can learn is what are your principles that you stand by and do you hold true to them? Because that'll keep you right-sized through the chaos, through the success, and through the failure. Emmerich, any last words, brother?
Well, I'm just going to say just one word. Hey, Brett, I love KW Wealth. I love the masterminds. I'm excited. I'll see you in January. For those who are listening to this and aren't involved with KW Wealth, get involved with KW Wealth. Get involved with Be Wealthy. Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change. And we absolutely have to look at our money differently.
That's good.
Thank you, Brett.
Thanks for all you do, brother. Those of you that are listening, if you're not in this man's ecosystem, do anything and everything that you can to go spend some time, join the mastermind, join the KW Wealth Network. To Emmerich's point, when you start looking at things differently, everything around you starts to change. And I'm glad that we had this wealth conversation. Thank you, Brett, for your time. I appreciate you being on, brother.
Grateful for you guys. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Until next time, guys.
Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.